Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Global Ports Holding Full Year Results Bondholder Conference Call. Today's speaker will be Mr. Emre Sayan, CEO, and Mr. Jan Van Ferre, Head of Corporate Finance. I'll now hand over to your host, Mr. Emre Sayan. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. I want to start the presentation from page three, Key Financial and Operating Highlights. I should say before I start that I am happy with the results given the challenging geopolitical conditions that happened outside our control in 2017. And we have seen a strong trading performance, especially in the second half, despite the slow recovery in Turkish cruise ports. So when we look at the cruise passenger growth, these numbers actually make us quite happy. The numbers are up 15.2%. And also our commercial volumes are up over 16%. We have seen in the results in the year the benefits of diversification. Revenue was flat at 1.3%. Again, thanks to the second half, and highlighting the difficult start of the year, we are pleased to see the progress, especially in fourth quarter when revenues were up 15.8%. Non-Turkish cruise ports grew strongly with revenues up 9.9%. And EBITDA is up 6.3% in non-Turkish ports. Despite challenging environment in Turkish cruise ports, the revenues are lower, but they still remain highly profitable with EBITDA margins of almost 60%. And I already mentioned strong performance in commercial ports. The revenues there are up almost 8% and the EBITDA is up almost 10%. So adjusted EBITDA margin at 65% almost. This is the same number that we used to call consolidated group EBITDA. So now we're using adjusted EBITDA. It's the same measurement. And we also remain highly cash generative with a cash conversion of over 80%. And hence, we are recommending a final dividend of 20.1 pence per share, bringing the total for the year to 41.7 pence per share, in line with our stated dividend policy, which basically results in a total of $35 million for this year, for 2017. I will now hand over to Jan to talk about the financials, and after that we'll go into Q&A.
Yeah, thanks Emre. Moving to page five, I believe what the year 2017 has shown is the resilience of the business model of GPH. Diversified revenue streams, diversified geographic location, were able to offset negative impacts on parts of the portfolio, and I believe from in particular a bondholder creditor perspective, 2017 will give a lot of comfort into the stability and resilience of the business in our view. So you were used to double-digit growth rates in these charts on page five, and I would say, excluding the impact on the Turkish cruise ports, ports growth in both revenue and EBITDA had been very satisfactory. And we talked about this in earlier calls. The decline in Turkish cruise passenger volumes into Turkish cruise ports resulted in a flat revenue and EBITDA, which I would consider is, against the circumstances, a strong achievement by the company. Breaking it down a bit further on page six, how did we manage to achieve flat revenue and EBITDA numbers? You see on the left-hand side, the aforementioned decline in the cruise segment. The decline in our Turkish cruise ports is actually higher than what is indicated here, the minus 6 million EBITDA. So partly, there's been an offset within the cruise segment. Non-Turkish ports, EBITDA and revenue grew above market and grew strongly, whereas offsetting, as I said, part of the decline from Turkey. And then the diversified stream of revenues from the commercial segment, from acquisitions, those are the Italian ports acquired late 2016, and some support from also diversified streams in terms of currency helped to achieve a flat profitability and revenue line. And moving to the right-hand side, looking at this from the quarter, we have actually, as you can see, the impact mostly was in the second quarter when these, on very short notice, the cruise lines decided to stop calling at Turkish ports. We have worked on the costs. We have worked on the other ports. We have worked to already revert the negative impact at half year of minus 2.5 million on the EBITDA level. We have reverted this into a more or less flat EBITDA over the subsequent two quarters. I would like to spend a bit more time on the on page seven. We talked about EBITDA, both commercial and cruise EBITDA already. Speaking then on below EBITDA items, you will see, despite flat EBITDA, a decline in operating profit, statutory measure in as per IFRS, and that decline can be solely and fully attributed to the IPO expenses. So expenses with respect to the IPO in May 2017, those were in total, including personnel premiums, those amounted to 11.5 million. If you add this on a pro forma basis to 2017 numbers, add this back, you will see operating profit is flat, even slightly above 2016. So again, performance in line with the last year. Moving on into the segmental detailed segmental breakdown, and it's reiteration of what I have already said, but worth going into the details, I believe. Starting with the cruise segment on page eight. A passenger growth, which is a significant headline number of 15.2%. This accounts partly for the first time recognition of our ports, Italian ports acquired in 2016. But even if this inorganic growth effect is taken out, the organic growth is still 3.5%, and that would include a 53% drop in what used to be a material part of our portfolio, with 30 and more percent on from Egeport. Egeport's share in the cruise port revenues went down to only 16%. But as I said, the overall portfolio on a like-for-like comparison managed to more than compensate the decline in Ege, and still managed to grow 3.5%, which again strongly reinforces the resilience of the model. And at the end of the day, the passenger growth will be the key driver. The passenger number will be the key driver for revenue and profitability, because as of today, as these ports are the newly acquired ports, are not as well developed in terms of their yield, in terms of their profitability, despite passenger number increase, revenue and EBITDA on the cruise segment alone went down, But that is just a change in the mix between highly profitable, high-yielding Turkish ports and yet lower-yielding European, Italian ports. But as we will we'll come back to this, we have demonstrated in the past and continue to demonstrate that we can improve each port's profitability significantly. So we're looking positive into the future. On page nine, the segment's performance breakdown into revenue and EBITDA. As I just said, we saw increasing profitability or at least stable profitability in all of our European ports. And the element of the mix element of lower contribution from Ege ports could not be fully offset on the revenue and EBITDA level yet. But want to also highlight again another point on the resilience of the business model, that despite revenues in Ege Port, as you see in the third box on top of page nine, have more than halved, but you still have a profitability of around 60%, and that's I think a probably unique in terms of infrastructure business, having top line volumes drop 60% and still being able 50-60% and still being able to achieve such a high margin. Turning the attention to commercial, page 10 and 11, we see growth rates on the volume front even surpassing the high growth rates in passengers, and there is no inorganic growth effect here. That's all organic growth, both 16% and above. Container throughput growth, almost similar growth rates from Adria and Actinis, and again, 16%. Of growth in the bulk business, where on a much bigger basis, 7% out of Actinis, Antalya, and a more than 150% growth in Port of Adria. The drivers are the key cargoes for the respective ports continue to grow and drive the volumes. It would be marble in the case of containers for Port of Actinis and cement in the case of general and bulk cargo. And on the container side in Port of Adria, a diverse mix of import exports and a diverse mix of cargoes types driving that growth all across the board. The significant increase in the general and bulk cargo for Adria really is a recovery of steel coils volume. Or steel coils, which have been significantly reduced in 2016 due to a temporary closure of the steel factory, which is exporting these steel coils, as a part of an M&A process. A new owner has resumed operations this year. The EBITDA and revenue growth on the following page 11 is behind the volume growth. So some yield we increased in absolute terms and in margin terms EBITDA, but some of that yield we lowered to some degree yields in both ports, not actively lowered. It's more of an effect of the mix, higher share of empties in the case of the container, for example, and higher share of lower yielding cargoes, such as the steel coils we just talked about, would result in lower percentage growth on the revenue line, but still increased EBITDA margin in both ports. Increased EBITDA margin in both ports, you actually see on the a declining EBITDA margin in Port of Adria, but this is a very specific driver, a specific one, a volatile project cargo, which, and we showed the details on page 11, bottom left of it, which is volatile in nature. And despite having contracted but no time committed volumes, these didn't come through in 2017 as expected and as in the previous year. This will be a deferral into 2018 or later. But if you look at the underlying business, the non-volatile day-to-day operation, as we called it, on both container and general and bulk cargo, we see quite significant growth. And as a matter of fact, our turnaround program is showing really results, and we'll expect these to continue now that the last steps of the modernization program have been completed. Last but not least, on the financial section, debt and CapEx profile, we have reduced the net debt and kept, again, I think it can't be reiterated often enough, despite the decline in Turkish ports, which has been a significant contributor to profitability, a stable gross debt, to EBITDA number. From 16 to 17, and the declining net debt to EBITDA number, which mostly comes from the IPO proceeds. So well capitalized for future growth, well capitalized to, I think, a 3x net debt to EBITDA is for a business like GPH, certainly not a high leverage ratio. In particular, because of the debt is long-term, there's no currency mismatch, we have very low continue to have very low CapEx needs into the business. The number for 2017, I would argue, is even elevated compared to the historic average because you see 6.5 of the 14 million. You see at the bottom right of the page 12 are related to Port of Adria investment, which is expansion CapEx, and now the port is almost fully invested for. So going forward, you'll see the normalized figure of 4 to 6 million maintenance capex plus whatever expansion capex comes on top of it, but it will not be significant, at least if you compare capex to EBITDA. I think we talked about the income statement following on page 13, and one remark on page 14 with respect to the cash flows. So on the cash flows, I wanted to highlight again that the decline in operating cash flows is not related to operations. Here included is $11.5 million of IPO expenses in total, which explains the majority of the decline, and we have somewhat higher tax expenses because despite having operating most of the operating profit or net profit effects are holding company effects or IFRS non-cash effects. So they are have no impact on the tax income. So as Antalya and Barcelona and other operations are really performing well, taxes have increased by about 4 million. That explains the movements in net cash from operating activities. And we talked about the CapEx already. So that would conclude the review of the financials and handing it back to Emre and questions from participants in this call. Thanks.
Right. I believe it's probably a good time to get questions. The only thing that I want to add, and I can do that at the end, is maybe give you an outlook for 2018, or shall we do it now, Jan? What do you think?
Maybe just pausing here for a second, seeing if there's any questions at this point.
So
far, and then we can move on.
Okay. So if you have any questions now, we would love to answer them.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start our Q&A session. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no questions. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
All right. Thank you. So As I said, the only thing I would want to talk about now is 2018 outlook and guidance. If you look at page 25, actually we have a page on that, and we've in fact been to the most important industry event last week with the whole team. The, you know, the cruise market is very optimistic about the next five, six years. The order book for cruise ships is full. I think every ship manufacturer in the world is working with 100% capacity right now building ships. There are 97 ships in order, which would mean an almost 50% increase in capacity in terms of passenger numbers by 2026. All of this is great news for us. As for 2018, the current trading in non-Turkish cruise ports remains strong. For the Turkish cruise ports, we expect 2018 to be a year of stabilization. We do not expect a strong recovery in 2018, but this will start in 2019, and 2020 will be the year of recovery. That's also the messages we're getting from cruise lines. Continued good progress in the M&A pipeline and also strong trading and good demand for exports in commercial ports means that we will continue growth in commercial port revenues, and we will manage them for cash in 2018 as well. Altogether, it looks like 2018 is expected to show mid to high single-digit organic growth in revenue and in adjusted EBITDA. I'm really glad to report that our company is back to the growth path and, you know, even without the Turkish cruise ports coming back online, we are able to grow and we look confidently towards the future. Thank you very much. If you have any questions on this page, I would like to receive those. If not, we are going to close the call.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no questions, Mr. Emre.
All right. Thank you very much for participating in the call. As always, we are open to answer questions you might have over email. The IR team is at your disposal. I hope to meet you in the next results call. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.